and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org. Hour two of the broadcast here on this Thursday, the 8th of February, 2024. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. You know, I don't know what it is, folks. I mean, I seem to change my intro when I started doing the evenings here. And for some reason, I can't seem to feel the delivery as smoothly as my morning show for hour one. But then hour two, the intro just always seems to just roll a lot more. I don't know. I have to work on that. You know, just some sort of a time shift issue in my psyche there. I see we have a caller, and I'd like to get this caller shortly here. And if anyone else would like to call, the number's 512-248-8252. But if you don't have the 3 minutes in long distance, if you must, the 800 number, 800-313-9443. If you can, though, folks, and it does help out a lot. Most people do have 3 minutes in long distance. So if at all possible, the regular number, that would be area code 512-248-8252. And, you know, I'll finish up the perspective quickly on this article. Maybe later I'll touch on this AI. There were a couple of articles on, I guess, war simulation. AI deployed nukes to have peace in the world during a war simulation. So yeah, get rid of humans, and that's the easy solution, right? And of course, well, we've had a lot of interesting I remember War Games with Matthew Broderick, you know, and a lot of science fiction, the idea of, well, us being seen as the ultimate problem or turning against us in some form, like HAL. Again, yeah, it's really an overblown a field for gaslighting. I'd say AI. They're talking about nuclear fusion now, a breakthrough, which could revolutionize AI. So which is it? AI is here in a danger? Or you're hopeful that nuclear fusion could actually make it what you're actually trying to hype that it already is? This can't be both. But no, I don't see anytime soon any sort of actual intelligence, you know, cognitive ability, and much less a sentient self-awareness, a better way to put it. I don't see that happening anytime soon. I think, again, if they found a way to upload a brain into chips before they died, that's cheating. That's not really creating. It's something you already had, you know, you're just transferring it. I think that's the best way they could get that going, you know, and it's, again, it's not even accomplishing it. But, you know, yeah, this article espousing there's a globalist defeat underway. I'm going to quickly get through the rest, and then we can jump over to the caller queue. And, I mean, we mentioned that they're saying, well, it's not because we don't have any answers. We have plenty of answers. Harari and his ilk simply don't like them. And that all these protests across the West are intensifying. The Great Reset Project came at us too fast, and we quickly saw it for what it was. While it was being rolled out through COVID, most went along to be good neighbors. I've argued in the past, the author acquiesced to the insane lockdown rules. It didn't come from most people being sheep willingly herded into concentration, happy camps. It came from a sense of wanting to be seen as cautious members of a community during a public crisis. Of course, there were some whose latent psychosis was triggered into being majority of people simply had their basic humanity weaponized against them. Once the first wave of COVID ran its course and we saw how far they moved heaven and earth to silence actual cures for the virus, the Great Reset began morphing into the Great Awakening. And I don't want to get into a virus debates from anyone. You know, this saying that is not the point of the article, obviously. And the evidence of people standing firm against any further degradation of our society for this nonsense grows daily. The Great Diffusion. Years ago, I wrote about Everett Rogers' theory of diffusion as it pertains to politics in general and the rise of the Alternative for Germany party in specific. Alternative for Deutschland that they want to get rid of because it's staying too popular for their tastes. Of course, we were reporting on that. Everett Rogers' diffusion of innovation theory is applicable to politics as well as products. The idea being that it takes around 16% adoption for a new technology, ideology, etc., to have the potential to become something bigger. This was made popular by Malcolm Gladwell in his book Tipping Point. This is the curve I was typically invoking in my recent article about humans being more wolf than sheep. We went from comfortable wolves in a pack we thought protected us from the dangers of the world to anxious, nervous wolves, wondering which one of us would stand up to the psychotic alpha leading us toward an abyss. The alpha continues toward that abyss, thinking it's a giant game of chicken and that we will stay under his rule out of fear. Many of us are either in state of shock and or denial about what's going on, but history has shown us we don't need a majority of people to fundamentally change the course of history, but at the heart of my observation is the following. Who will you really become when you have nothing left to lose? Or better yet, where's your loss threshold before the real you bears your canaries? Canines. Before the real you bears your canines. Canaries, okay. Because that's literally all I was saying. We all have a limit. And the idea that because your limit isn't as low as mine or some rando in the interwebs makes you a sheeple is exactly the type of condescending and unearned sense of entitlement that drives the very ghouls that are convening at Davos this week to force us to rebuild our trust in them. Looking around social media at the headlines of protests around the world by the working class, which the managerial class over educated midwits despise to the core of their being, you can see we're very close to, if not past, the 16% tipping point. That's why Davos has put on the full court press to accelerate the decline and fall of Western civilization. We can all feel it. We're a little over a month into 2024, and a year's worth of geopolitics has occurred in that time. They can feel the whole project slipping away, and this has to be nipped in the bud before it spreads into what Rogers called the early majority. To that end, this is where they were so hard on vaccine hesitancy and launched the wars on ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. It's why now anyone to the right of Karl Marx himself is a fascist, is a member of the hard right. This is to dissuade people from identifying with outgroups and shame them into qualifying all of their dissension from the norm with, I'm not a racist, but, or I don't agree with everything they say, but, and then they go on to the gap in the conflict. But also embedded in the article was Jeffrey Moore's refinement of Rogers' curve to include the chasm. Getting the 16% adoption isn't enough. The new thing can get to 16% easily by simply opposing that which is dominant. That is what Harari was implying, that we are just reacting to the opposite of them. by saying that we only reject the liberal order but have nothing to replace it with. This is why the new idea of product has to then rebrand itself into something more universal. It's not enough to be against globalism or the WEF. We have to also be for something better. That becomes a decision point for a lot of people. It's a moment when the established idea, brand, etc. wakes up from the threats and fights back. This is what the 16% chasm represents, that gulf between opposition and affirmation. And it's also what Davos and their ilk are truly exceptional at managing. They keep the Overton window framed over irrelevant side issues to ensure that a new majority doesn't cross the 16% chasm by uniting over that better solution that doesn't include them. I'm calling this group, they are afraid of the radical center. Okay, it's author's choice there. This is why Alternative for Deutschland got the 16% in 2018 in the anti-Merkel party, but was easily neutralized when they didn't become the true Alternative for Germany party. Once they did that, and the current Scholz-led government failed to protect the German middle class during and since COVID, they've become a real threat. A mixture of this rebranding and entrenched arrogance of the German political establishment is what led to Alternative for Deutschland's rise in the mid-20s in German polling. And it's why, despite a hastily organized hit on them for an unconfirmed secret meeting in Potsdam over deportation, they are still polling above 16%. So they're saying, you know, that Germany has crossed the chasm. It really does go on a bit more than I wanted here. So I'm going to jump over here to a caller here. We have Andy, who's been patiently waiting. Andy, how are you tonight, sir?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, wow. I didn't even get that little screech. Okay. Hey, thanks for taking my call, Richard. You know, I would argue that artificial intelligence has been here forever and a day. It's not, you know, I know what AI means. It's, you know, it's computer generated or whatnot. But artificial intelligence, when you look at it, it's the same thing as the mainstream media. They're giving you artificial facts, artificial garbage and whatnot, and they claim that they're intelligent and they're informing the American people. So AI has been here forever and a day, but now all of a sudden we have computer generated facts and whatnot that we have to contend with. I mean, you know, we might hear a Tucker Carlson a video or whatnot, but it could be a totally artificial intelligence. But we are subject to a world of people who believe they absolutely 100% control us and whatnot. And that's why I consider myself a black-pilled person. There's not much we can do to get out of this thing short of everybody getting up with their guns and saying we've had enough. But I don't know, how do you wake up the sleeping giant? How do you poke the bear enough to wake these people up? We're not going to do anything. We're stuck on stupid in this country. We're stuck on stupid in the world, for that matter. We outnumber these people, I don't know, 55 billion to one, or 55 million to one, or whatever it might be, whatever the scenario is. But we just don't see our energy as a group of people on a planet with a bunch of people who want to tell us and how to live and how to survive their world when it's our world. Because the majority owns this world. These people have just found a way to congregate us all into one little group here and one little group over there in this country, and this country has a different group and stuff. And they have their own way of propagandizing us to think that we have no way of, no shape or form, way to fight back. And the sad part is that we do have a way to fight back. We certainly do have a way to fight back. All we have to do is come together and nobody's going to do it, so it's not a solution, but it's a suggestion. We can come together and we can just say enough is enough. We can stop complying. That's another suggestion, not a solution. There's so many things that we could do, but getting people to do anything, that is the problem here, Richard. This is the biggest problem, is to get anybody to even stand up for the smallest thing. And a lot of people like to stand up, and they like to go to their political theatrical movie that's going on in Washington, D.C., and think that we can do something with that. But we certainly can't. There's nothing that we can do because those people are bought off. Those people are part of the problem, and it's us. It's us against the world, and it's us. I'm talking about the average, everyday, normal person who's just trying to live their life and want to take their, you know, their son Bobby to the soccer game and stuff every day. They just don't want their life to be disrupted and stuff. And these people need to get angry. The problem is that so far, as we've gone along here, nothing has gotten too bad for them to where they will stand up and say, I'm done with this. Let me get my weapon. Let me get my gun. Let me get my ammo. Let me get my backpack on. And let me talk to my friends. And let's get together. And let's go do something about it. Nobody's going to do that. So we're essentially sitting in a waiting room. We're just sitting in a waiting room waiting for the doctor to bring us a bad news. No, I'm sorry, you're not going to survive this. And I'm not talking about some ailment. I'm talking about the fact of life. That somebody's going to come out and tell you, you're not going to survive this. And they've all but said that because of the way they want depopulation. So we should be, as a group of people in the world, not just the United States, but people around the world should be in a spot where they just say, I'm done with this. And this may make a difference, but, you know, the object of getting people to that point is moot because there's so many different fire points. I mean, even if a group of people that were in the lower population who are really struggling right now, even if they rose up, the people just above them in the middle class or whatnot, they would say, oh, no, we can still survive this. Let's stay out of that. So
well, that's
why
really I thought it was. That's why this article I thought was worth reading some excerpts from in the first and second hour there. But it started trailing into, you know, Germany and a lot of personalities. And it goes into talking about Russell Brand and Alex Jones. And then the Tucker Carlson and Putin interview, how, if anything, in 2024 is going to be outside of Davos's control, it would be that. I'm giving Putin a little too much credit, first of all, for being outside the system. And just some of the names like Elon Musk, I just don't, even Russell Brand. I mean, I don't trust these people as outsiders for the people, independent as much as this author. But, you know, so it got a little wordy at the end, but I want to get your feedback to the last bit, the last paragraph, okay? At the very end, this author said this, you know, because he's saying how some of these people, they do what they can for us, you know, and people like here at RBN, obviously, you know, but so, you know, he says, we don't need them to be perfect men. What we need is for them lead where they can, when they can. They just need to give us the tools needed to cross the chasm and find common ground. Let us then build a public square that looks nothing like the one that we've been allowed to protest in up until now.
So, the real question there is, how do you get these people to even acknowledge that statement? How do we get people to, that's the thing, is that people are so mesmerized with life that they don't want nothing to do with what's going on in the political world. And so they just skirt it aside. Every day they come home, they watch the news, whatever it might be, or maybe they're even in the alternative media, but they still just want to live their lives and stuff. And they don't have any clue whatsoever at all that their lives are on the line right now. What you do day to day right now has everything to do with what's going to happen in the future. So if people really want to save their family's life, they really need to start standing up to this stuff, and whatever way they can. Is there a solution in there? No, I have no idea what the solution is. But there is something that we can do. We can raise the awareness. We can do something. People can start barking out as a dog would do in a yard or something. We can start barking out. We can start making some, you know, some definite moves towards things and stuff. You know, we really, I hate to say this, but we do have to result to violence here sooner or later, Richard. We do. Because what else is going to keep us alive here? You know, I'm a black-pilled guy now. I used to be red-pilled. I used to think, oh, well damn, we got to do something. And now I'm like, holy crap, what are we going to do? There's nothing that we really can do unless we get a majority of people to stand up and say, hey, I've had enough of this. But the problem is everybody's in their own scenario in which they don't see a reason to stand up. So therefore, we've got a group, we've got several groups of people, people who are ready to stand up, people who want to get their weapons, people who want to go take care of some business, and then you got people who are like, oh, no, it's not that bad, because they're just not filling it, and most of it's money. They're not filling, okay, well, I got to spend $300 more a month to keep my family alive. Okay, that's cool. And next month, it'll be $500 a month to keep my family alive. And up and until we get to the point where everybody is, you know, wait a minute. Hold on, this is going too fast. Until people get really pissed off, we can't do anything in this country to change anything in any way, shape, or form. And there's several people in our government that need to be hung. And we know this. And everybody knows this, that, you know, has any inkling of what's going on. There's tons of people that need to be hung or whatever, shot. I don't care. But there's a lot of people that don't know, no longer need to be on this planet. And yet we still keep going day in and day out and day in and day out. You know, I was just having a great conversation with my friend Alan. You know him from Republic of Texas Radio on Sunday mornings and stuff. I was just having a good conversation with him. And we both agree that nothing is going to happen here. We're all sitting in a waiting room just waiting to find out how they're going to kill us. And that's literally what we're doing right now, because nobody wants to stand up and do anything. And then you go, well, if I stand up, then what? Okay, well, I end up with the Gen 6. I end up with all these different people that are, you know, locked up for good and no way out and whatnot. Oh, boy, so let's be scared about that. But what is life without freedom? And we really haven't experienced freedom in my lifetime. I've never experienced freedom. But I've had quite a bit of freedom, but nobody really is, you know, the integrity of people has been diminished. We don't really care for what we should really care about. And freedom is number one. Freedom, your life changes. If you can find some sort of freedom or a good sort of freedom or actual real freedom, we could actually prevail in this world and stuff. But these people have one mindset in mind, and that's to kill you. They don't want you. And this is a great reset. And I think it's been done before. I think they've killed millions of people before and started over. And it's like they're looking for a certain amount of people. And right now they got the right amount of people that they need. It's all these people that have been mind tossed in the schools and stuff. Their minds have been changed, and they're teaching people how to live in their new world. And if you don't want to live in their new world, you're gone. And that's what they're doing right now. And they're just waiting for people like you, me, and all of the hosts on RBN and all the listeners who are aging, just like myself. They're waiting for us to be gone because we're the menace. But we really have a challenge in front of us, and I don't think that the younger generation has enough intelligence, if you will, of about what these people have done to us over these years and years and years. They don't have enough intelligence to decide whether or not they want to fight back or not, because they've been taught to live in this society that these people are creating, and so we're really in a world of hurt.
Even of these few of us who do have enough of a mind to want something different, I mean, there are plenty of disagreements among us on what that would be. So, I mean...
Absolutely.
Yes. And so as far as a catalyzing agent, though, I mean, something that would really get everyone, no matter what their differences, to say, okay, it's go time. You know, it's now or never. We're going to do this. I mean, I don't really know. I don't think the government would pull anything that would be too risky in that regard. I mean, as far as, you know, extreme. Well, I mean, you know, I don't see them attempting extreme gun confiscation across the nation all at once or something. I don't see like blue helmet UN troops coming in and just suddenly trying to bully everyone across the nation. You know, they're not. I don't see. I mean, the closest thing we've seen yet is these farmers protesting in Europe. You know, it's the closest thing to them going too far, the governments, and getting more than they asked for or miscalculating the response, right? That's what we need here. Well, I mean, at least they have that going over there.
Well, yeah, no, then that's a great start. But if you think about it real closely, these people are paying attention to shooting manure on the Capitol building or whatnot in their countries and whatnot.
And are they really even talking about how the science is a lie and how many other agendas are against the people straight out? They're not being bold enough in questioning it publicly, perhaps. I could only assume, right? Yeah, like
well,
just how...
But how
sinister everything actually is.
Well, they're protesting what their government's doing to them, but meanwhile, all their farm equipment is downtown. They're not farming. So they should be back at their farms, and they should just be ignoring this stuff in many ways and finding some other way to protest. But they're bringing their farm equipment downtown and shooting manure on these places, and they're protesting big time. But what their job is as farmers is to produce food, and right now their food processing is going downhill because, these people can't farm, so I guess they have to do this, but I would just go and break the rules and go farm my land, plant my corn, plant my cucumbers, plant whatever it is that I have to plant and stuff. But they're more focused on the fact that their government is out of disarray here, and they're not going to change this. And that's the thing, is this is the Agenda 21 / Agenda 2030, and if they really want to get tough and they don't get there till 2030, it's 2050. These people want us dead, and they're going to do everything they possibly can. These people are saying we need to get rid of beef. They're even talking about patches on your arm that make you sick when you eat beef, like a nicotine patch. You get sick when you smoke a cigarette. These people are going to the gusto, and everybody thinks that, I'll never eat the bugs. Hey, read your ingredients on your package of chips. Read your ingredients on your bread. You're probably getting, some sort of bug flour that's involved in this stuff.
Well, I remember, over a year or two ago, an article about the standard like snacks for the school children in Australia. You know, like cheese puffs or whatever. Well, no, this was Australia. It was a powdered cricket mixed in with the, cheese puffs or corn chips or whatever their snack with their sandwich. That was like, you know, with all the school system, you know, I mean, it was like, and powdered cricket in the brand affiliated there. So, yeah, it's already starting to happen for sure. I hear the break, though. Andy, stick around, and we'll be right back.
Wash it away. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
We are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey taking your calls and commentary. And I just want to point out, every article I read is not to imply that I thoroughly endorse all the perspectives of said author. Everything that they're pushing for or include in it, it usually just is a topic which I think is timely for a debate, scrutiny, challenge, and that might even come from me to some extent, with the author or any of you listeners. And you know, it's healthy to have respectful debate with the hosts, other callers and guests. So. Yeah, I basically just like to, because I mean, you know, a lot of the things in this article, I mean, he's implying that the left and right meet in the center, and for one thing, and then, I mean, you know, so yeah, a lot of the places that this author was going, I certainly do not endorse, but it was just a vague general concept, and to get us all debating and questioning, because, yeah, that's just usually where I'm coming from. With an article, it doesn't mean it's like I looked through every word ahead of time, and I'm sure it's verbatim what I would endorse. But that being said, Andy, what else would you like to add on this topic? Because, like, yeah, I see people not ever really getting mobilized, and really, we keep talking about this. I mean, even among the remnant, I mean, there isn't enough unity in what they would. I don't know. I mean, the system seems like it, to blackpill further, it will squash out any resistance. The individual level, as we point out, a changing and being better suited to counteract and deal with this system is the best hope we have. But I mean, any sort of organizing. What are your other black pill factors? Why you think, other than on the individual level, forming with any sort of groups that you see as a non-starter?
Well, I totally see, you know, I used to think, you know, when I was red pilled and stuff, I was like, well, hey, we just got to get together. We got to meet some people. We got to get out of our box and stuff, which has been my entire priority since I discovered the red pill organization. You know, oh, crap, stuff's going wrong here. I got to do something. And I would be wrong if I didn't. And then I find that nobody really wants to hear what you have to say. But we're in a different perspective now, because there's at least 30 million people in this country that are listening to alternative media and that have an inkling of what the heck is going on in the world and stuff. And people want to do something about it. They want to do something about it, but we're scared to network. We're scared to come together and have a meeting at a VFW or a garage or someplace up in the woods where you leave your cell phones behind and whatnot. But it doesn't really matter, because once they get out of the meeting, they're going to go back to the cars, get their cell phones, and call their buddy and tell them what they just did and whatnot. So we're tracked and traced all along the situation. So that's wherein lies the object of where I became blackpilled, that I was like, well, we can't do this. But the thing is that we do have several millions of people who understand something is seriously wrong in this country. And
yeah,
that
no, that's
do
true.
Need
and
to
I mean, if I were to add to what you just said before that, I mean, also, if we did get enough people to get together on one, fighting back against one of these agendas, in two or three of the other agendas, they're just still likely to get us. It seems like most people get duped with most of the angles that, you know, that these elite think tanks seem to strategize. I mean, like the, you know, like the green agenda, the pandemic. I mean, you know, a lot of these things, even just the double standards of the justice and the weaponized race and victim class politics in the country. I mean, it's like there's just so many angles where most people seem like they don't have a chance of overcoming what these people have set up against them, right?
Well, and therein lies the black pill situation is, you know, I, like myself and perhaps you, perhaps anybody who's, you know, ran around trying to alert the people that, hey, this is not the world you're living in. It's not about Bobby going to the soccer game tomorrow and about you getting to your doctor appointment. It's not that simple anymore. Life is getting a lot worse than that, and they're not seeing it, and so therefore they can't. You know, you do anything whatsoever at all to try to comprehend that or even do anything about it. But you and me and everybody around us, we're sitting there going, oh my God, we just keep talking about this stuff. And it gets worse and worse.
I'm always glad, because, you know, you have a good fresh perspective on cutting through to the heart of the issues. And no, I mean, I hope to hear from you again soon. I see a couple more calls coming in. Could you summarize
you,
like a last point? Oh, would you like to add a last point, though, to this topic for today, Andy?
Okay, the last point is that everybody out there who's listening, find some people that think the same way you do and start networking with them. I know it's way late in the game to even try to do that, but you got to have some people on your side when this thing comes down. And we know it's coming down. At some point it's coming down. And so just people, network with people around you that you know you can trust, or maybe you can trust them, but even try to network them. Let's get some sort of camaraderie going and stuff. Other than what we really need, it's still something to start with. It's just the beginning to a solution, if not the solution, and networking could be the solution. Thank you, Richard, for your time.
Thanks for the call. And we have Joe in Florida. Joe. Hey, welcome, sir. What's on your mind?
Hey, Richard. Thanks for taking my call. Good to hear you tonight. Yeah. I think you touched on a bunch of topics. The one thing I wanted to, I don't know if you mentioned this, the Putin interview by Tucker. I don't know, have you seen any of that?
No, not firsthand. I caught a lot of the quotes from it, but yeah, no, I didn't myself.
Yeah, so I'll just, if I can, I'll give my own reaction, because I actually watched it. And it's probably better not to do that, to just go by the quotes, because I heard some of those quotes too. And, you know, as with anything, those are just excerpts. But what happened to me was, like, here, Tucker, you know, I'm a fan of Tucker's, but he's still an American TV person, right, his background. And so, okay, admittedly, I'm a huge Putin fan, but it never fails. When you see an interview with this man, right, he is literally a genius. He is a walking super high IQ genius. It turned into a bit of a lesson in history, you know, between Putin and Tucker. It was fascinating and fabulous. Anytime, you know, I'm thinking of this. I call him the walking human cadaver, Joe Biden. He's like a walking cadaver. What a disgrace. What a disgusting waste of a human being. And then comparing him to this person who is the president of another country, right? It's so embarrassing to think that that person, the Biden entity, right, is allegedly our president. When you see the brilliance and the genius of a leader like Putin, he's not perfect, right? I know. As a matter of fact, I heard you in days. You were ranking on my guy Putin yesterday. I said, oh, there they go again, right? I don't know. He's controlled by the Chabad or something. I don't think you said that. But, I mean, I understand you're skeptical, and so is Dave Scorpio. But I'm a big fan, and the reason why, I'll just tell you, the reason why I think President Putin is such a great leader for the world is because he's basically the only leader in the world right now that is, like, logical. You know, think of these people like Boris Johnson and this idiot Schultz in Germany. Here you have a president of a country in Germany who literally knows that the U.S. CIA and other people blew up that Nord Stream, which has thrown their economy in Germany into the garbage. It is destroyed. It's only going to get worse for them. And somehow this guy, the president, Schultz, he wouldn't dare. He wouldn't even dare suggest or even want to look into the facts, which are clearly known, that they allow their boss, the U.S., to destroy their economy. The same is true with that idiot Macron. You know, these people are like small, pea-brained people. And anyway, Putin, I think, came across really super well. But, you know, my bias, I'm a bit of a fan, but I just wanted to get my reaction. The other thing is, hey, listen, I wanted to give a message to my brother, Tom, a little bit south of me down there in Dade. You know, I'm in Broward. Because I heard the other night, and not to give up hope about impeaching this perfidious Jew, Mayorkas, as if there were a more repugnant, smug piece of Jewish garbage, this person, how he ever became Homeland Security. But I will say, listen, I'm not naive about Republicans. They're very, this is a stupid party, and they're cowards. So what happened the other night, from what I understand, the big news is that he's going to be impeached next week. That I believe is going to happen. And because I know Tom was very upset, so was I when I first heard this vote fail. But apparently what these Democrats do, you know, they always play hardball. You know, Republicans are, oh, we'll play by the rules. So they wheel this guy, this Congressman Green, Al Green, in a wheelchair. I don't know how sick he is, but apparently he's very ill. And they have him helicoptered in, and they wheel him onto the floor because these kind of votes in the Congress have to be done in person in that case. So they wheeled this guy, and this people thought he was, like, near death. He was not in Washington for weeks. Representative, I think it's Al Green, and cast the vote, and it causes a tie. So Republicans weren't prepared, right? because they actually do have Congressman Steve Scalise of Louisiana, who is the breaking tie, but he didn't show up. He's got cancer. He's ill, too. But I guess Democrats are the ones that play hardball, right? So they wheeled their sick, almost dying congressman in, but Republicans said, let's not bother this guy.
He's, on the black pill angle that Andy and I both seem to have, I mean, what would you be your feedback to that? Because, I mean, I think you can directly gauge someone's black pill percentage by how much they even pay attention still to domestic politics. It sounds like you do pay attention to all the individuals more than someone like myself or Andy, where you still have a bit more hope and invested in the system to be as black-pilled as we are. And so I'm just wondering what your feedback, someone like yourself, to everything we were saying.
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, Christ is king. Okay, so I actually believe, as a serious belief, that God is in control of the world. You're asking me why I'm not black-pilled. So because of my faith, which is very serious, I actually understand that the world is going to look like it's black-pilled, like there's no hope, like there's nothing that can solve the problem. But the solution is Christ is king. Christ is the social doctrine of Christ the King means that all power on planet Earth, no matter the government, no matter what nation, no matter the time in history, all power, all political power comes from Christ.
Okay, well, no, that's not too different then. I mean, because I'm not black-pilled on an individual level, as I don't think Andy was implying either. On a group level, I'm kind of black-pilled.
And I get you. I totally identify with Andy and you. It's like, wait a minute, there's no hope. Even the people that think, like I'm talking about these Republicans, what a waste, right? People who always, the stupid party, they always want to make it look like they're fighting against evil, but they're always getting, you know, cuffed at the end there, right? But in terms of the dynamic of the world, I do believe that it could be possible and maybe even likely that we're in some kind of already existential war. I mean, after all, look what's happening in Gaza. Has there ever been a time in history when a certain group of people deliberately and openly boast about their ability to genocide people? This didn't happen in 1936, 1939 Germany. We know that.
Yeah.
We know that hoax. That was a hoax, right? 6 million people in gas chambers. Give me a break, right? It was probably less than one-tenth of that, and there were no gas chambers. We know
that. Well,
that's
interesting. I mean, yeah, we have like this, you know, a real mass genocide now as opposed to an alleged conceived more spreading in the 60s with no documentation of it ever occurring prior. But then we do have a parallel of Hitler going into Poland, Putin going into Ukraine. You know, so it is curious on a few levels, but regardless.
I'm going to take exception with that. Hitler went into Poland, but you see, Putin, and actually I was in this interview with Tucker, there is a long history of these people, Ukrainians and Russians, being the same people, and at different times in history.
Well, that's the same thing, though. I mean, there was a lot of mistreatment of ethnic Germans in Poland. That's why.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean. See what you mean. Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you were coming at it from the right.
I mean, as far as, yeah, I don't know. I don't want to get off into the whole global war topic, but we should do that a different day. Like maybe if you want to even call in for tomorrow's panel or something.
Sure.
But okay, well, no, thank you, sir. I see a couple other calls.
Wait a minute, let me just say the last thing. I think in being blackmailed, if it means giving up hope, then I never really take the black pill. I'm aware of how desperate and terrible and very, very alarming the so-called leaders and the so-called people that are supposed to fix things are. I'm not relying on them. I believe we have the opportunity of a cultural revolution, and it's Christian culture. It's the only thing that will solve the wicked, evil, Jewish, polluted Jewish sewer culture is what we have in this country. And Christ is the answer. Thanks, Richard.
Thank you, Joe. Let's go to Chance in West Virginia. Good to hear from you, Chance. Good evening, sir. What's on your mind?
Yes, hello, Richard. Andy's call inspired me to call, okay? You know, the debating and the questioning, that's past now. That time has passed. And as a matter of fact, with all due respect to all the hosts, they're all likable people, a lot of them are knowledgeable, I think talk radio's heyday is just about over. And I say that because now we're thrust in a situation where all the talk in the world is not going to cure the problems we are facing. Okay? We're way past that point. It doesn't mean that we haven't gleaned knowledge from talk radio. We all have, yes, bits and pieces here and there. But I think the time has ended. Its heyday has ended. Right now, everything is a distraction. From the border crossing down in Texas to the Gaza war, this is all distraction. The noose is going to be placed around our neck, I believe, this year. We're going to wake up, and that's going to be it. And we could look back and say, well, we talked on the radio, but what did we accomplish? This is my question. And this is with all due respect now. All you guys are likable guys. I like all you guys, okay? And I glean some knowledge. But let me tell you something. There's not time left for people to read history anymore. By the time they finish chapter one at this point, the noose will be around their neck. This is how the game is being played. We are in serious crap here. We are in serious crap, and it's going to come down on all of us. And I don't want to be the one sitting around saying, well, I kept calling the talk shows, and, you know, I got my rocks off here. I complained here. What good is that going to do me? What good is that going to do me when they throw my ass in the gulag? You see, it's time action has to be taken. This is why I don't listen to talk radio much anymore, and I'll tell you why. It's not that I don't like the host. I like the host. I like some of the callers, of course. But it's too repetitive. It's getting old. It's getting old. I don't see any solutions. So I can't take it. And how much can you hear people complain? How much can anybody hear people complain before they say, shut the hell up already? Think about it. This is the frustration level that this country is under right now. And there's a select few who see it. I can see Andy sees it. Andy feels the way I do. Now, I tried carefully with my words because I don't want to offend anybody, because I know everybody has good intentions in their heart. But it's going to take a hell of a lot more than good intentions at this point to change the mess we're in. Don't you think, Richard?
I do. Yes, I absolutely do.
It's going to take a hell of a lot more than round tables. It's going to take a hell of a lot more than good intentions. It's going to take a hell of a lot more than calling show after show, complaining. We are in serious shit. Excuse my language.
Yeah, no, please don't.
Yeah, we are in serious. Well, I'm sorry. This is how I see it.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I don't see even the people who are seriously ready in the militia sense. I mean, what really is going to trigger everyone to act uniformly against the system? And like you say, I mean, most people not knowing their history, therefore they don't know.
At this point, it doesn't even matter if you know your history. You got to look at what's coming down on you now.
So far gone.
You have no time to learn it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, we're so far down. This Bolshevik takeover is so near complete, and it's been going for so long. The school system. And I mean, when you just look at the public school system and how ever since its origin, I mean, it's had a communist link that helps.
The communists moved into the school system. I think it really took root in the 50s, right? It's only gotten worse. Mm-hmm. We've had Patriot talk shows. I listened to Patriot talk shows from the early 90s. That's how long I go back. But you know what the difference was? At least then, they had constitutional lawyers. This is what we need. We need constitutional lawyers that are going to represent people. We got to bombard them with this. Sitting around talking about world events And politics at this point, to me, is so, it's so useless now. We both know. As a matter of fact, I don't even think there's going to be an election this year. They're going to steal it again. You know why they stole it in 2020? Of course they're going to do it again. So I don't get my gander up for Trump or Carlson and all this nonsense. They're going to steal it again. By hook or by crook, they're going to steal it again. It's obvious. Don't put it past them. Look at Mayorkas. Look, they didn't impeach him. They didn't impeach him. Now, they threw us a bone with that big aid bill, right? By what, one or two votes? But that's it. This is what they give us. They give us crumbs, and they'll give us more crumbs if they have to, until they put that noose around our neck. And to sit around complaining about it and not organizing and doing something about it, to me, is so pathetic. As a matter of fact, it drives me crazy. This is why I don't listen to much talk radio anymore.
It'll be good if we could.
Yes, sir.
No, it'll be good if we could get something that actually...
Well, we have to do something, because I find myself pulling my hair out of my head.
Right, we know. We need a solution that everyone...
We need solutions. We need solutions to where we have to go on the offensive.
But here, I hate to cut it short, Chance. I have a caller waiting still. I want to try to fit in. I always appreciate your calls, sir, that you give me a listen still once in a while, sir.
Thank you for taking my call now.
Yes, I appreciate it. And let's go to Bobby in Florida. Hey, Bobby, good to hear from you. Hey. I'm sorry I missed the clock running out here, sir. Hey, what did you want to add today?
That's fine. Solutions. I don't know. Only thing I know that we can do is try to share knowledge with people. I'll tell you one thing I do real quick that's working. I'm starting to wake people up is I got a Bluetooth meter on my phone. I'm going around showing people that they're vaccinated. Some people get ticked off about it. I'm showing them websites where they're finding out now that it's common knowledge that they are hooked up to the 5G. The 5G is the killer. And I'm doing that, and I'm wake people up. That's all we can do. At this point, that's all I know to do is to try to wake people up, and I try to do that. I've been on Facebook, social media. I've put all kinds of videos out on what's going on in Gaza with, you know, the children, all the people they're killing and things like this. That's all we can do at this point, I think, is to try to just go down trying to tell everybody what's going on. I mean, you can't really start a war. I mean, what are you going to do?
If you can call,
there's more of us than there are them. There's more of us than there are them. Remember that. Have a little bit of faith there.
If you can call back tomorrow, I'd appreciate it. And
okay.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree, and that's the way, on an individual level, waking other people up to fix their immediate reality. You know, that's the way to not be blackpilled. I totally love your call here. And thanks. That's a great way to go out. Folks, please support the station to keep all these perspectives alive and well. The canary in the coal mine of free speech, RBN, so that we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.